Let's go to Washington now, where the Pakistani Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, meets with the US President later today. And that issue of drones certain to be discussed when the two leaders meet in the White House. Shujanavaz is director of the South Asia Center of the Atlantic Council. He joins us from Washington. Shujanavaz, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran. Good to be back with you.
Now, the Prime Minister addressed the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington today, and part of his message was focused on drones. He said the issue of drones has become a major irritant in our bilateral relationship. Was that the central message from Sharif Nawaz?
Well, it appears that he has decided to make it a central message. It's not quite clear how much resonance it's going to get in the Oval Office when he meets with President Obama in the morning tomorrow, our time. So that remains to be seen. Also, it's unclear whether there will be other behind-the-scenes agreements between the U.S. and the Pakistani military that would allow some strikes to continue, particularly those that help target the Tehrik-e-Taliban of Pakistan, the Pakistani Taliban that have been attacking Pakistani forces.
Yes, well, Nawaz Sharif, as we heard in that earlier report, has called for the drone program, the U.S. drone program, to be abandoned. He describes it as, quote, assault on the independence of Pakistan, and they should be stopped at once because they create hatred against the U.S. amongst Pakistanis. That's one reason, which often results in resistance. So they're trying to balance that, the fact that the drone attacks are just causing more problems in terms of resistance. But at the same time, there is a suggestion, and it's been referred to again in that Amnesty report, that there could be some cooperation between the US and Pakistan on some of these drone attacks because they're aimed, particularly the ones aimed at suspected Al-Qaeda and Taliban operatives.
Yes, indeed. And the US recognizes that without Pakistan's acquiescence, the strikes can be deemed illegal under international law, except in those cases where there is, as they say, imminent threat. And they're protecting themselves against attack. Many of the attacks that have been documented in the past of the 350-odd that have occurred till now are difficult to qualify as imminent threats to U.S. forces inside Afghanistan, particularly since the U.S. has not shared details of those attacks.
So where do you think the truth lies within this? As we've said, it's almost certain to be on the table with the U.S. president today, given the profile that Nawaz Sharif has given to it over the past week. Where do you think the truth lies in terms of the Pakistani position on drone attacks and what it really wants the U.S. to do?
Well, it'll be very interesting if Sharif's publicly stated position, which is obviously aimed at a domestic audience, as is most of the reason behind this trip, is to fortify his position back home, whether that is supported by his equally strong positions taken in the closed-door dialogues with the United States. If he succeeds in maintaining that position, he may well effect a change in U.S. behavior. But given the U.S. Priorities in trying to exit Afghanistan in an as orderly manner as possible, I think they will probably be weighing the advantages of stopping drones against the advantages of a deal with Pakistan on some kind of mutually agreed targeting.
Can we talk about the withdrawal, the exit of the US and others? After nearly 13 years of fighting, NATO will withdraw its 87,000 combat troops by the end of next year. Sharif is calling the withdrawal a new phase in the US-Pakistan relationship. How will that withdrawal affect that relationship?
Well, first of all, it will end the codependency, which has been marked by what's known as a transactional relationship. The U.S. pays Pakistan to bring troops into the border region, and the Pakistanis in return provide some kind of security in that area. That will end. The U.S. Financial support related to that, which is the coalition support funds, will also cease next year. So Pakistan is going to lose a hefty chunk of change as a result. I think this is going to force both countries in to agreeing on some kind of a longer-term relationship, which really needs to be built much more on economic relationships, opening trade for Pakistani goods into the United States, for instance, and a better, more productive regional relationship where Pakistan can play a role in allowing India to connect to Central Asia and benefit as a result from regional trade.
So an economic relationship based not on funding for the fight against terrorism.
Exactly.
In recent years, just to step back a little and perhaps put this in context, relations between the US and Pakistan have been tense, particularly since the bin Laden killing. So the atmospherics around this meeting had a few years of tension leading up to them. But there have been reports that important funding relationship, which was to some degree frozen since the bin Laden killing, that there has been a secret funding pipeline reopened in preparation for these talks. Is that your understanding?
Well, the United States, unfortunately, did release before the Sharif visit began a statement that $1.6 billion of economic and military assistance was being released to Pakistan. And although that is correct, it kind of put the wrong coloration on the visit. It created a kind of quid pro quo atmosphere or the transactional relationship, which has been decried by both sides in the past. I think it was unfortunate for that to have dominated the news before Sharif arrived in this town. And so now you see Prime Minister Sharif trying to change that dialogue and that narrative by focusing on the differences. So in some ways, I think the focus on monetary assistance to Pakistan is the wrong one for the United States. If it's looking for a longer-term stable relationship, it also needs to find new partners in Pakistan, so it's not just primarily a military-to-military relationship. And those partners will be in the newly emerging business class, the middle class, if they can be given access to American markets, simply at the level that European countries do possess now. That would be enough for them to make enough money without having to be reliant on U.S. handouts.
All right, well, this meeting happens later today, so presumably what comes out of it will have a significant impact on how the people at home are seeing it and, as you say, are seeing any kind of change from such a transactional relationship. Shuja Nawaz, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Shuja Nawaz is director of the South Asia Centre of the Atlantic Council and author of Cross Swords, Pakistan, Its Army and Wars Within. It's 6:26 on Breakfast.